Tonight is the third and final presidential debate, which many of you might be saying, thank goodness. This has been called an historically contentious race, so what awaits us? Hillary Clinton has been doing debate prep. Donald Trump has been holding rallies every day. Last night in Colorado Springs, he took a swipe at her.
Sort of funny, she's been doing this for 30 years, now she has to do debate prep for 5 days. You know what the debate prep is? It's resting. It's lying down, going to sleep.
Well, joining us now are Here and Now political commentators Angela Rye, a Democratic strategist not working for the Clinton campaign. She's in Las Vegas. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
And Paris Denard is with us, Republican strategist not working for the Trump campaign. He's in Washington. Hi, Paris.
Good afternoon.
And I want to ask you about what we just heard from Donald Trump there. Are you worried that even though after each one of the debates, Republicans even have said he should have done more prep, that it sounds like that's not what he's that's not the lesson he's taken away?
Well, you know, Jeremy, when Governor Pence, who did a fantastic job, in my opinion, up against Governor Kaine, when he did his debate, he said that the reason why he did all of those Sunday morning talk shows was to use those opportunities as debate prep. And I believe that what Mr. Trump is doing is testing out lines and tapping into the people on doing all of these rallies as another form of his debate prep, because we all know that Mr. Trump is very good at responding to people and responding in the moment. So I think his deliberate decision to continue to hold a lot of rallies, test out language and see the response of the people is a smart move on him on his behalf, because he's a different type of candidate and he's doing things in non-traditional fashions that typical regular politicians normally do.
Well,
so I think it's a smart strategy for him.
And Angela Rye, your thoughts both about what seems to be the Trump strategy, but also they're again talking about Hillary Clinton's fatigue or needing to lie down and go to sleep. I mean, if we hear that tonight, your thoughts?
Well, I think that the American people are tired of this type of childish rhetoric, particularly on the debate stage when we need to talk about, you know, matters, frankly, of life and death. Robin, we have a situation where terrorism is real in this country. People are living paycheck to paycheck in more instances than we need them to. And instead, we're talking about the stamina and the ability and the intelligence of a woman candidate. And you would think that a bully would learn.
You think that's what this is about, by the way, Angela? Do you think this is about her being a woman? That's why he's saying she's fatigued?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, they've tied in her health. He's talked about her stamina. You can tell when Donald Trump is standing shoulder to shoulder with Hillary Clinton on that stage, it rattles him to his core. He's never had to face a woman as his equal. He certainly, very frankly, doesn't treat any of his spouses or his mistresses as his equals. So I think that rattles him to his core.
Well, I think that leads us to—go ahead, jump in, and then we'll talk about that.
I would just say this back to Angela's point. She's absolutely correct when she says this is about life and issues of life and death. That's why Mr. Trump is bringing in Pat Smith, an angel mom, who will be in the audience tonight.
Mrs. Smith. Yeah, her son was killed at Benghazi.
Right. And when you talk about these serious issues like Secretary Clinton's judgment as it relates to her time as Secretary of State and her handling of Benghazi, this is one of the issues that is going to come up, back to Andrew's point again, about terrorism. And that's why poll after poll, Mr. Trump continues to lead on the issue of being strong in the minds of the American people on how to handle terrorism.
Well, but it took us about a minute and a half, Angela, for you to make a reference to Trump, the women in Trump's life. And how do you think that's going to come up? And Paris, you take it, the tape of Trump bragging about, forcibly kissing women and grabbing them by the crotch, and then some of the accusations have come out. How does that come up? How do you see that?
I think that Chris Wallace will address it in the portion of the debate that deals with whether or not either of them are fit to be president. One and the same, I think, you know, Benghazi and Hillary Clinton's handling of the Benghazi issue is fair game. I hope that Secretary Clinton tonight will address the fact that, you know what, this is a case in point of Republicans needing to work with the administration. Embassy security was underfunded, and it's time for us to get back to the meat of the matter related to Benghazi. We've dealt with all the fluff and the hoop, but we can't just deal with the drama. We have to actually deal with what happens so we can prevent another Benghazi. I hope she gets to talk about her record as Secretary of State, her record as senator, because she is, as the president has said over and over again, the most qualified candidate to ever run for president. So I hope that there isn't a whole lot of distraction, actually, about all of the women in Trump's life, because that's an issue that we can't solve. He's got to get some help from that, and it's not from the American people. He's got to get help from that somewhere else.
And to that point about the women, I hope that Mr. Trump counters by talking about his record as a businessman, because there are more women than men holding executive positions in the Trump organization, heading major departments like human resources, golf and hotel management, et cetera. And that's just 43% of the overall workforce. And so he has a record that he can promote and talk about that counters what I think a lot of people in the media and what the Clinton campaign wants to talk about as relates to other parts of his history.
Mm. Well, yeah, not on the campaign, though.
Paris, the thing that Donald Trump has been talking about almost nonstop over the last week is his view that the election is rigged, that the media is rigging the election for Hillary Clinton. Do you think he is going to? Do you think he should bring that up in the debate tonight?
I think that's going to be one of the major themes that Mr. Trump talks about. I think her judgment is one, her readiness to serve, as well as her experience of being in the politics for 30 years and haven't done anything to help advance the things that she's now trying to trumpet. And then now, yes, the issue of this being a rigged election. I think he's going to go back to what we saw that happened with WikiLeaks and all of the stuff that's in there, but in particular, going back to the issues that happened about Bernie Sanders. We know that that's a particular voting bloc, and people are really concerned about the mistreatment at highest levels that WikiLeaks has uncovered, but especially at the DNC and with the campaign. So he's going to talk about those issues because I think a lot of Americans are concerned about what they see and this potential of rigging that is on the record proof in the WikiLeaks.
And what does she say?
Can I respond to that?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So a few things here. Kellyanne Conway actually was on TV this morning and actually disagrees with Donald Trump about the election being rigged.
Trump
so that's on the record
Trump
as well.
Spokesperson. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, well, not just his spokesperson,
campaign
his
manager.
Campaign manager,
right.
The third campaign manager, I'd add. But it's also
third
important
time to charge.
Note,
yeah.
You better hope so. I think it's also important to question this. Was it rigged then when he became the GOP nominee? Was it rigged when Barack Obama became the president in 2008 and was reelected in 2012? When did this rigging actually begin? Because as Barack Obama has said to him, you're complaining about rigging and the game isn't even over yet. So you're putting out some very serious accusations about American democracy when you are literally running a tag team with the Russians, hacking into emails and touting that as if it's legal. There was someone arrested for that this morning. So I just wonder where the rigging is really happening, right? If they are breaking into emails to try to sway the results of this election, that seems like more of a rigged result to me than anything else. So if it's rigged for Bernie, from just a strict timeline standpoint, Paris, we'd have to also argue that it's rigged for Trump because he became your nominee.
But there's some other portions of the quote-unquote rigged system as it relates to the fact that there was 23 times more coverage about these unfounded accusations against Mr. Trump than of Secretary Clinton's email situation. So
when you say accusations, what accusations?
The accusations that were made about him and his past issues with women as it relates to the allegations that were made against
him.
No,
those are actually not unfounded. And it's unfortunate that, again, when you deal with the Trump campaign and Trump spokespeople, that women, their word is second guessed against his. Not unfounded.
No, I'm talking about things outside of the video and what he said. I will say on record.
Angela, let me just back up for one second because we just have a couple minutes left. And I want to ask you this question, which is, as you look at the polls right now and Hillary Clinton leading in a lot of states and also in now states that nobody expected would really be in play, including Arizona. Do you think that the Clinton campaign ought to be trying, if they think they're going to win, to run up the Electoral College count for her, or that they should start diverting resources to Senate races and things like that, in case she becomes president, may help her get stuff done?
Jeremy, that's an excellent question, and it's an excellent strategy question. Perhaps you should talk to the campaign about what they're
doing.
Well,
you're the strategist.
I feel like you just beat me right now. It's a really good point. There are two things. One is you can look at it Like if she runs the Electoral College count up, then it gives her a demand, kind of it's clear that she has been asked to govern at that point. But on the other hand, if they don't spend those resources on these Senate races and now maybe even these House races, will that mandate really result in a real action? And I would argue that it's probably no. And so spending money and investing in those Senate races that are close, that are neck and neck, some like Nevada, like they actually really do need to spend some resources there. And not just resources. If she's going to be taking time off for debate prep, she should also probably get on the ground and help folks campaign. So I think that's an excellent point.
We just got just a couple seconds. Paris Denard, what does Donald Trump have to do tonight?
Mr. Trump has got a message to the states, the voters in Arizona, Utah, Florida, Nevada, which now has been moved to battleground states or lean dim. He's got to talk to middle America, middle class people, and let them know what he stands for, what his record is, defend his record, and actually go after the facts about Secretary Clinton and the lack of her record and the holes in her record in terms of judgment and what she's going to do. He can win this election, but it's going to be tough.
Paris Denard, a Republican strategist, Angela Rye, Democratic strategist, neither are working for the campaigns, but working feverishly today for their parties. Angela, Paris, thank you.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy.